Austin, Texas.
Hi, this is the Reverend Jill Carey from Unity of Wimberley, Texas. I'm so glad you could join us. Whether you're with us here on Sunday mornings or if you're joining us later, we know that no matter what, we're all one in spirit and we're sharing this together. And that's good. Thanks for being here. I'd like to start out our service this morning with a reading from Ecclesiastes 3. This will be familiar to you, and I hope comforting to you. It always has been to me. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I especially love this reading for where we are right now in the world, because we are certainly in a time of change, in a time of transition. And many of you have talked in during our Zoom meetings and our phone conversations on Facebook and in your emails about what it's like living with the changes that we're in right now. And as you know, the title of this talk is Change, Avoid or Accept. Now, that may sound like a fairly simple idea. Of course, we're going to say, well, of course I accept change. I know that change is going to happen, and so I'm ready for it. Bring it on. I don't think any of us were ready for this, because this is one of the biggest changes we've seen in our lifetimes. And so what tools do we use to get through this? How are we subtly shifting not only our psychological approach to life, but also, of course, our spiritual approach? You know that I'm very fond of the author David Riccio, and we studied a book of his last year called The Five Things You Cannot Change. And so in his chapter on grace, he talks about the givens of life, things that we know are true. And so I'd just like to share a couple of those with you. Here are some of the things so that we can recognize the value of the givens. Although everything changes and ends, things renew themselves and move through cycles that further evolution. Although things do not always go according to plan, we sometimes sense a larger plan at work through synchronicity that opens startling possibilities. Although life is not always fair, something in us remains committed to fairness and refuses to be unjust or retaliatory. Although suffering is part of life, we have ways of dealing with it, and thereby we expand our powers to handle future pain and help others in their pain. Although people are not loving and loyal all the time, surprise, nothing has to get in the way of our acting with loving kindness and not giving up on others. No human action can take away another human being's capacity to love. Those are good words for us to hear, especially right now. Once again, at a time when many of us are coming together and trying to be more gracious and accepting and helping with each other, there is also discontent, there is dissonance, there's discord. And so we have a responsibility not only to do all the things that we're doing right now to protect ourselves and those around us from a virus, we also have to determine how we're going to be people of the truth in the midst of all these changes. How are we going to say yes instead of no? Are we even aware of all the times that we're saying no instead of yes? So many of you have talked about feeling like you don't know what to do with yourselves. And we're so accustomed to being busy that we don't know what to do if we're not busy. And so the change that we're getting used to is the change that looks like being still and being with. Some of us are angry about other people not following the rules. And you know the truth is that we can't change other people. We can only change ourselves. We can only change our attitudes. And we can keep ourselves safe no matter what other people are doing. Some of you have found yourselves having feelings that you're not quite sure you can identify. I had that experience myself just this week. Found out that something was not going according to my plan. And when I realized what was going on inside me, because it felt like friction and it felt uncomfortable, and I felt angry about it, I discovered that what I really had to do was let go of things not going according to my plan. About a relationship not remaining the way I thought it should remain. And that gets us in a lot of trouble in our relationships, whether it's with our beloved or our family or our friends. And so when I finally identified that my yes was to accept things exactly the way they were, it allowed me a chance to let go, and it allowed me a chance to grieve. And those tears felt so much better than the tension and the friction that I had been carrying internally. And so here's the dilemma that we find ourselves in. We know how to look at ourselves psychologically. We are learning how to look at ourselves spiritually. Psychology can have a duality to it. Good and bad, healed, unhealed, angry, not angry, wounded child, healed adult. Our spirituality would have us looking at ourselves as integrated beings. And that's what we're always moving ourselves toward all the time, is that integration. So sometimes when change is going on, it brings up feelings for us that we wish we didn't have. And sometimes it brings up feelings that we don't want to have because we think we can't handle them. We think we can't handle the grief, the anger, the resentment. We don't want to admit it about ourselves. Or we think that if we feel this feeling, it's going to be too big. And that's counterproductive for us. The truth is that we are living in a continuum of life that has a rising and a cresting and then a falling off. A rising, a cresting, and then a falling off. And we would like to know, when is the rise going to happen? When will it crest? When will it fall off? We'd like to have a timeline. We'd like to have a pattern of existence so that we know exactly how this is going to go. And life doesn't work that way. We've learned some of our best lessons by knowing that life doesn't work that way. And so when we give ourselves a chance to really feel what we're feeling, when we give ourselves a chance to put aside what Ecclesiastes calls, it says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And I like to call that our attachment to things that are not necessarily nurturing to our soul, not necessarily growthful to our spiritual life. In Hebrew, the translation for the word vanity means thin air. It's an illusion. It's nothing. And so when we avoid looking at the reality of change, then we're short-circuiting ourselves and mourning, grieving is the yes of accepting change. Sometimes we discover that mourning and grieving, as I mentioned a moment ago, gives us relief. It is so hard for us to hold on to something. It's so hard for us to cling to something, to be needful of a thing. Letting go and then being able to grieve brings us much more relief. It's so much easier. Sometimes when we let go, we discover a sense of freedom. And that is a bountiful place for us to be. That lets us then open our eyes to the realm of possibilities. Because as long as we're clinging to things remaining the same, we can't see what's on the other side that allows us to grow and experience more of the fullness of life. When we grieve and let go, then remember that's also leaving a place for something good to come in. It's allowing us a chance to be able to shorten that time of that crest and that fall. And so we can train ourselves to let go. And we can do it by looking at what we're saying no to and where we're saying yes. If we get ourselves caught up emotionally worrying about other people in our lives over whom we have no control, then we are caught in a trap of our own making. We are looking at something that is a change that is beyond our control, and we will make ourselves miserable. And so if we can go ahead and let go, just let go. Just accept things as they are. Then we have an opportunity to experience grace and goodness and expansiveness and the abundance of God living in us and around us all the time. So, when you find yourself in a relationship and you're upset because the person did not remain the same as they were at the beginning of things, then we need to find a way to say yes to who they are right now. We may discover that that relationship will no longer work, because saying yes then cuts things off. Mindfulness, being present to what is, liberates us from the whole idea of illusion. Rather than having an either or in our lives, that polarity, we can have a both and. It's like the way we can experience joy and experience sorrow at the very same time. It's the way we can experience discomfort and beauty at the same time. It's the way we can embrace the unknown as easily as we're embracing the now. And so this is your assignment, is to look back at this last week and find the places that you made yourself miserable because you were holding a no instead of a yes. And that's your assignment for this coming week as well. Now, I am not saying that this moves us into inaction. If there is a wrong that we can right, we are guided to do so, yes, we can do that. If there's a place where we can take social action to serve the greater good of humanity, yes, let us do that. We can have passion about things and yet remain detached. And that is a beautiful gift of spirit. Many of you are familiar with the Serenity Prayer. And if there's ever a time that we need the Serenity Prayer, it is right now. Because that is the prayer of mindfulness. That is the prayer of yes. That is the prayer of letting go. And so you have a choice. You have a choice to avoid change, rebel against change, reject change, or you have a chance to accept change, integrate change, let change be, so that you can stay right here in the now. In a moment, we're going to have our meditation, and I will share some more words with you that I hope you will find to be of comfort to you. I will also remind you again that if your feelings are too big, if they scare you a little bit, and you need someone to remind you of the truth of who you are, Kit and I are available. Just email us. We'll be happy to be in touch with you. Join us in the times that we have Zoom classes, Zoom discussions, meetings, until we can join each other again, person to person. We can find a new way in this change to say yes to each other, to say yes to being able to do ministry and to have community that our church brings us, that spiritual community. We can say yes and find new ways to do it. We have the creativity. We have the gift of renunciation, of letting go, of eliminating that which doesn't serve us. We have the gifts of wisdom. We have the gift of discernment to be able to say, yes, this is for me. And no, this is no longer for me. I let it go. So if you will, settle yourself into wherever it is you're sitting. And I will chime the bell for our meditation. And then I'd like to speak some words to lead us into that meditation. If you're comfortable, close your eyes and listen to these words and breathe them in. Let your breath be the boat that takes you down the river. When we are sure we can't get through another minute, and we do, that is the grace of a creator life in us. When we are sure we can't find the light, and we do, that is the grace of the light of the world in us. When we are sure we can't take one more breath, and we do, that is the grace of spirit breathing through us. So just breathe. Just remember that you were born in light, and that is from whence you came. When you say yes to life, and you say it unconditionally, our heart lets the light through. We let grace expand our hearts, our minds, our bodies by endowing us with intuitive wisdom. That grace of God expands our will by giving us a strength or courage we did not have before. Grace expands our hearts by making it possible to love rather than hate, to reconcile rather than retaliate, and to show humility rather than hubris. We couldn't do that all on our own, beloved. Our ego would not let us do it. But God in us, grace in us, is our inner ally and our guide. It is the motivating force of our spiritual practice. So allow yourself right now to be embraced by grace. Know that wisdom and strength are yours. Know, beloved, that you have the capacity to say yes to life and to its changes and to its challenges, and yes to its gifts. Beloved, you are courageous. In your deepest heart, you're kind and humble. In your deepest heart, let that light, let all those qualities come forth in you, unhampered by any no. Let your heart be yes. Let it say, I accept. I integrate. I welcome. And I live in mindfulness. Each moment, perfect as it is. I free my mind from all of its labels. So that I might see that everything is good, because everything is God. So, beloved, be at peace. Let go of everything else. Release it back into the nothingness from which it came. And now, if you will, when you're comfortable, open your eyes. I can't see you face to face, but I can make eye contact with you right here and right now. And once again, we extend our hands to each other, touching in our spirits the way our hands cannot physically touch right now. Know that I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I so look forward to the day that we are together again. And so it is.